Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together, we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. Every business conversation that you have takes you closer to or further away from your goal. So this show is about getting both informal and formal conversations right. Whether that's a confidential personal chat with a key player on your team or on the stage in front of hundreds of industry experts. What you say and how you say it counts. And if leadership is your goal, then being able to influence people will accelerate the process. At the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show. Perhaps you'll be brave enough to rise to Coco's Communication Challenge. You'll get to try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips at work, because listening about leadership and leading are not the same thing, honey. I'm Corin Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with almost 25 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that someone with their knowledge and experience deserves through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to really show up as the English-speaking expert. So, let's get cracking, shall we? As a corporate communication coach, working in engineering and software engineering, and of course the agile teams working alongside them, the seven C's of communication are part and parcel of what I do on a daily basis. The seven C's of communication were first introduced by Scott M. Cutlip and Alan H. Center back in 1752 with their fantastic book, Effective Public Relations. Effective Public Relations. Feel free to check that out. So this framework has since become widely recognized just, you know, all over the world as one of the most effective models for ensuring clear and impactful communication. Let me give you a taste. This is a quote from the book. The message must be put in simple terms. The words used must have exactly the same meaning to the sender as they do to the receiver. Before communicating, organize your thoughts coherently. Construct a logical flow, ensuring that each point naturally leads to the next. Complex messages must be distilled into simpler terms. The further a message must travel, the simpler it must be. So those of you that have been listening to my communication musings for a while now will know that I'm an advocate of focusing on your communication skills to boost your career, and confidence will follow. I've seen it time and time again. Communication skills, or a lack of them, can literally make or break your career. So let's first of all think about what it really means to be clear in your communication. If you're working as an engineer, precision is part of your profession, and yet requirements and specifications can often be vague and frustrating. Add to this some expectations, especially with a new client that you want to impress and win over long term, of course, time pressure, racing from one sprint to the next as the backlog or product owner is breathing down your neck. Clarity tends to suffer, doesn't it? So why is clarity so critical in engineering environments? Well, think about the last time a project ran into trouble. Was it because of technical issues? Or was it because someone misunderstood a requirement? Someone had made a sloppy or incomplete documentation, or made an assumption that turned out to be completely wrong? More often than not, the root cause of these problems is unclear communication. Even the most brilliant engineering teams can waste hours, days, weeks, even months, simply because someone wasn't clear enough about what needed to be done, when it had to be done, or how it should be done. In well-established, experienced teams, you can work through vague communication faster. But for inexperienced teams, this can affect quality, deadlines, and team morale, which of course can end up in resignations, meaning that we're back to the drawing board again with onboarding. Furthermore, as our experienced programmers and engineers head into retirement in droves, younger teams will need to focus on clear communication all the more because the knowledgeable clear-up squad is shrinking by the day. So clarity is about making sure your message is understood the the first time. There's nothing wrong with repetition. In fact, it's a good thing, but it's a good practice to use different words to do so. Otherwise, you're just repeating a lack of clarity, and that drives people nuts. It's also a waste of time. So clear communication is about stripping away ambiguity so that everyone knows exactly what's expected, what the priorities are, and what the next step should be. Easier said than done. So in high-stake, fast-moving projects, this can be the difference between success and a really costly, often embarrassing mistake. Not to mention the cost of frustration in terms of staff turnover, or worse still, losing a client. So the bigger the organisation, the harder it is. Clear communication has bigger implications than people realise. In engineering, especially where communication is often viewed as being, procrastination or perpetual time wasting, we need to change the culture around communication. Yes, it's important to get the job done, but how can you produce an amazing solution to a big problem without investing time and effort in communication up front? If quality is your goal, clear communication is the way to get there. So how do you achieve clarity in your daily work? Well, let's start with language, the words that are being used. If English is not your own language, you might not always be able to find the right words fast enough, especially if you haven't given yourself time to prepare well for a meeting with, suppliers, for instance. That's why I offer my coaching clients dummy run sessions, when we can practice those conversations in a safe learning space first, away from clients, away from your boss, away from your colleagues. Great for your confidence and great for creating and delivering a clear message. Normally, I break this down into three stages. First, my clients explain to me the nature of the conversation or presentation, give me some kind of background, and also anything that might have affected the project so far. Then they prepare their message. They do that on their own. We make any corrections, and then we make sure that the message is clear and easy to understand without them getting tongue-tied or nervous. I even send my VoiceVantage clients audio files to listen to and repeat, all via Voxer, very easy. Practice doesn't make perfect, but it makes you authentic, approachable, and attentive because you are no longer so paranoid about your own performance. That means you can look up, gain that all-important eye contact, deal with questions calmly, and smile. Use simple, direct language whenever possible. My advice is to avoid idioms if you have an international audience, because this can alienate your audience really quickly and can actually make quite an arrogant impact on people, especially if they don't work in English regularly. So simple, direct language is easier to understand, but at the same time, avoid using a harsh, domineering tone, which can make you appear rude and self-centered. This is an easy trap to fall into when you are speaking a foreign language because, unknown to your audience, you might be feeling insanely uncomfortable speaking in English. And you might, want to finish the conversation or presentation as quickly as possible. I get it. The implication, of course, is that you speak faster. After all, you just want to get this over and done with, right? But does speaking faster make you easier to understand? Or more difficult? Do fast speakers tend to sound hectic or professional? When we can't find the right words when we need them, it's insanely frustrating, right? That's when we tend to stop mid-sentence as we think. We repeat ourselves as we're thinking. Often it's just part of the sentence, so people don't know, is this a new sentence or the old sentence? And then when we don't have the right words, we tend to kind of stop and start, flow and break, making us sound robotic. It's like a trust handbrake. There's an easy solution, but one that few people will ever do. You need to take these conversations seriously and practice beforehand. Aha, I hear you. No time. Let me be honest with you. If you have no time, you have no commitment. If you are serious about being taken seriously, you need to invest the time to prepare. Olympic athletes don't show up on a whim, do they? They don't eat junk the night before. They don't go to bed late. They come prepared. It's their career and they need to perform. If you are serious about your career, then you need to prepare for that important presentation or those important conversations too. Because every conversation is carving your reputation, whether you like it or not. So every industry has jargon, and most companies have their own jargon, abbreviations and phrases. That's normal. The bottom line is, though, that unless you're 100% sure that everyone in the conversation understands it, avoid jargon. Find a way to say it that makes you easy to understand. If you are easy to follow, people will pay attention for longer. The truth is, it's exhausting trying to understand somebody who talks in riddles or sounds like a contestant for bullshit bingo. Let me give you an engineering example. A classic that I heard just last week. Instead of saying, "Let refactor the interface for better modularity," you could make yourself easier to understand if you said, "Hey, let's break this component into smaller parts so it's easier to update in the future." The goal is to make your message accessible to everybody, whether they're a junior developer, a product owner, a stakeholder from another department, or maybe a new boss. In fact, imagine if you had a brand new boss in his first 90 days, or her first 90 days, still wanting to get to grips with everything. You show up and make it super easy to follow. Another person made this newbie feel out of their depth. Who do you think they'll go to when they need something done properly? That's right, the no-nonsense expert. They gain more trust because it's obvious that they know what they're talking about. Next, structure your information logically, step by step. Give your message scaffolding so that people know where they are. When you give an update in a stand-up or send a project status by email, follow a clear structure. What's been done, what's in progress, what's blocked, and what's next. This helps your team quickly grasp the situation and respond appropriately. If it's more complex work, start with an overview and then work through your points in threes. Three problems, three options, three barriers, three summary points. Then you might have at the end, I don't know, questions, requests or concerns. But don't overwhelm people. Prioritisation is another key aspect. When time is tight, be really explicit about what's most important. For example, the top priority today is fixing the login bug and then we'll move on to the dashboard updates. This prevents confusion and ensures everyone's pulling in the same direction. Did you see this was clear language, not at all ambiguous? Everybody knows what's what. This will make your team feel secure. Clarity also means being proactive about potential misunderstandings. If you notice that a requirement or a task is vague, don't suck it up and pass it along sheepishly. Speak up. Clients often don't realise that they're being vague or confusing. Maybe this is the first time they've done it. So ask the client for clarification or the stakeholder. Help them by asking the right questions or suggest a concrete way forward. For instance, if a user story is unclear, you might say, "Can we specify what the expected output should look like for this feature? What do you have in mind? Do you want to maybe, you know, give me a drawing or an illustration or a specific example?" This saves time and avoids rework down the line. Asking your client to prioritise might feel pushy or inappropriate, but being asked to prioritise forces them to really think carefully about whether it's a need to have or a must have. And sometimes when they're explaining something to you, they'll realise that it's actually really not clear. And then they'll backtrack and try and formulate that more clearly for you. So now let's look at a few practical scenarios. Imagine a sudden design change. Instead of discreetly updating the code and hoping the team notices, hop on a quick call or drop a clear message in your team chat. The UI has changed, here's the new design, and here's what's different. Let's discuss any blockers now. This way, everyone is aligned and you avoid surprises later. It's also more respectful and goes towards building that team spirit that we're going for, right? Or picture a critical bug during testing. A clear report would include a summary of the issues, steps to reproduce, and screenshots. This allows the team to act quickly and efficiently rather than wasting time trying to figure out what went wrong. Guesswork is a complete waste of time. It wastes their time, but it also wastes their life. Be mindful of that and think proactively of the implications for others. Clarity is also about using the right communication channels. Quick questions or urgent updates might be more convenient to share in instant messaging. But whether that's in Teams, Slack, or another tool, team members all need to be crystal clear about what can be found where. More detailed updates or documentation should go in emails, which are typically easier to search and categorize, or in your project management tool, presuming, of course, that everybody on the team has access rights. The important thing here is to have a rule of thumb or best practice so that people don't have to search or hunt for information. The same is true for naming principles of files and subject lines in emails. The more standardized your approach, the less time is wasted going on a hunt for the right message. For complex topics, sensitive issues, and time-sensitive issues, a real-time meeting, whether online, in person, or hybrid, can really be the fastest, safest solution. Match your message to the medium so it's received and understood as intended, and be mindful of formality, especially if you're communicating with team members and suppliers in other cultures. In the UK, first names and casual communication styles are standard and seen as being approachable. In others, this might be disrespectful. And the best thing here is to observe and mirror. Whilst this doesn't contribute directly to clarity, it does affect your conversation partner's ability to focus and take in your message. And finally, don't forget visual aids. In engineering, a diagram or drawing, annotated screenshot or Gantt chart can often explain something much faster and more clearly than a paragraph of text. Use these tools and visuals to make complex information accessible. If you would ideally bring in a supplier, for instance, into the manufacturing area to demonstrate the problem, take a mobile device with you and film the situation as if you were showing them in person, adding commentary just as if you were there with them. This makes the problem more relatable, and remember to be clear about the implications of this problem for your manufacturing and your own goals, but also the impact it will have for them or could have. Don't be ambiguous. Don't force people to work things out. Don't force them to make assumptions. Instead, tell them exactly what the knock-on effect is for everybody concerned. It is this 360-degree view, or the big picture, that will lead to a better performance and increase empathy and understanding. So the biggest culprits that I see as a communication coach of unclear communication are ambiguity and vague language. Two of the classics being the timeliness issue, soon, or ASAP, or that's just not precise enough. Put a time and date on it. Also, using incomplete or contradictory information can create confusion. If at the start of the email you say one thing and on the end of the conversation you or the email you write something else, that's confusing. Or if you say one thing in person and then another thing in the email, it's confusing. The next thing is overuse of jargon and complex language. Number three is making assumptions. Number four is a lack of active listening. And yes, I know I harp on about this, but it is important. Not paying full attention because you think you know what somebody is about to say, or interrupting others because you feel that you want to add something, can cause important details to be missed at the same time as being hugely disrespectful. Active listening, summarising and clarifying improve both comprehension and trust. Number five is inconsistent messaging. So providing conflicting information or failing to communicate changes promptly can undermine trust and cause confusion about priorities or expectations. This happens a lot when what is communicated is what you want to have happen, what you hope to happen, what you wish would happen, but not the reality. This usually happens when the working relationship is not yet established or is one-sided. If people are saying what you want to hear, think very carefully about how you interact with those people or organization, and do what you can to establish more trust. And there will be more about that in the next 6 podcasts. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out. Number 6 is ignoring nonverbal clues. So nonverbal clues such as facial expressions, body language, are essential for conveying meaning. Misreading or ignoring them can lead to misunderstandings. And of course, that's why on online calls, this is particularly difficult. So sit far enough back from the screen for people to be able to pick up on your body language and make sure that everybody has their cameras on. Number 7, overloading information. If you want to overwhelm people, just smack them with information. Sharing too much information at once can be overwhelming. This makes it difficult to identify key points and leads to confusion. So break it down into manageable chunks and provide summaries, checklists, and visuals to simplify. And of course, things like headings and bullet points. So the book I mentioned right at the beginning, Effective Public Relations, has this wonderful quote: "Clarity implies emphasizing a special message or goal at a time, rather than trying to achieve too much at once. The message must be put in simple terms." So number 8 is not tailoring communication to the audience. Failing to adapt language, tone, or format to your audience's need or knowledge level, or maybe language level, can trigger a lack of engagement or misinterpretation. So do your homework and find out who you will be talking to. Number 9 is a lack of follow-up. So not summarizing discussions or confirming understanding after meetings can lead to forgotten tasks and unresolved issues. If someone is responsible for a task, waiting until the due date to check in, especially in cultures where saving face is a big issue, this can be a matter of too little too late. Take advantage of technology to share progress via project management systems, etc., and promote a culture of open and honest communication so that delays are not seen as disasters, for example. Instead, something to work around and work towards avoiding going forward. And of course, feel free to use AI to help you in this. Number 10 is emotional barriers and personal biases. So letting emotions or biases influence communication can distort the message and hinder productive dialogue. This is prominent when you start working together or when, for example, you've just come through a merger and you've got people in one team working with another from 2 different corporate cultures. The thing about culture is that it's subtle. You can't put your finger on it. You can't always know for sure what it is. It's kind of invisible. So you need to be super observant in terms of both verbal and nonverbal communication and learn to listen to your intuition. So let me sum up the points that I've made in this podcast so far. So being clear in your communication means using simple, direct language, structuring your message logically, prioritizing your information, proactively addressing ambiguities, choosing the right communication channels, and using visual aids. If you make clarity a priority, you'll not only avoid misunderstandings and wasted effort and time, but you'll also build trust and efficiency in your team. This is the foundation for every other C in effective communication. Who knows, it might even get you noticed by decision makers on the C-suite or the board. Clarity is one of the 7 communication superpowers. Next week, I'll be sharing some insights about using concrete communication. So here's Coco's communication challenge for you. This week, pick one area, maybe your daily stand-up update or your next project email, and focus on making it as clear as possible. Set the timer for 15 minutes, no distractions, and really focus on clarity. Clarity isn't just a nice to have. In engineering, it's your secret weapon for delivering results, even when the pressure is on. But of course, you don't just have to take my word for it. Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. said it like this. He said, "Speak clearly, if you speak at all. Carve every word before you let it fall." And I like the rhyming nature of that. So I'll leave that with you. And if you feel that you need my support, wonderful. I have a VoiceVantage program, which is 100% asynchronous. I'm there when you need me, in your pocket, in your phone, in your bag. And if you want to have more information about that, let me know. We can jump on a call. And if not, I'll speak to you for the very next episode of Experts Speak English, when I'll be talking about how to speak with concrete examples. Take care now, and remember to be the very best communicator that you can be.